From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, January 16th, 2026. The teenager charged with the death of paddleboarder Sunshine Stewart last July spent time at a psychiatric facility and had at least one previous interaction with law enforcement. The details about 18-year-old Devin Young were made public this week following a lawsuit by the Midcoast Villager. Nora Sachs has more.
Ordered to be unsealed by a judge, the records show Young has had behavioral issues, including ADHD and defiance disorder. They also describe multiple physical altercations with unnamed individuals, which have resulted in Young bloodying a woman's face and in him getting hit in the eye. In January 2023, a Waldo County Sheriff's officer visited his school and his home in Frankfort to discuss an altercation he'd had. In the officer's heavily redacted narrative, those interviewed reported that Young has, quote, bad spells when he doesn't take his medication and that he destroys things when he doesn't get his way. One person described how every room in his house had holes in the walls. Young was arrested 2 weeks after Sunshine Stewart's body was found on Crawford Pond in Union, where he and his family had been vacationing. The Maine Medical Examiner's Office ruled Stewart's cause of death was strangulation and blunt force trauma. Young, who was 17 years old at the time, was charged as a juvenile. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nora Sachs.
And Rockland police have arrested the bus driver involved in a fatal incident last November. 65-year-old Jeffrey Colburn of Camden is charged with manslaughter in the death of 12-year-old Braden Callahan. The student was struck after getting off the school bus. There have been two student deaths involving school buses this academic year. Electricity from Quebec started flowing across Central Maine Power's controversial Western Maine power line Friday, culminating a project that faced years of legal and political challenges. Phelps Turner with the Conservation Law Foundation says the New England Clean Energy Connect will help the region lower prices and reduce reliance on fossil fuel power plants.
It marks a milestone in the transition in New England to a clean, affordable, and reliable energy system.
The 145-mile transmission corridor runs from the Quebec border to Lewiston. Opponents tried to block the project with a successful referendum, but developers ultimately prevailed in state court. A state panel says Maine should do more to support mobile home parks and keep them affordable for residents. The ideas come as corporate investors show growing interest in purchasing mobile home parks in Maine. Nicole Ogrisco reports.
The panel told state lawmakers Thursday that Maine should offer more financial support to help expand mobile home parks or build new ones. Many park owners are interested in adding homes to vacant lots or expanding existing parks, but the infrastructure upgrades are expensive, says Dana Totman with the Governor's Office of Policy, Innovation, and the Future.
The degree with which we can fill all the lots, maybe expand the parks, maybe develop new parks, is a really an opportunity to produce more affordable housing.
Totman says that help could come in the form of subsidy programs or construction loans. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
Four students sustained minor injuries after an accident in Ellsworth yesterday involving a school bus and another vehicle. The driver of the car was transported to a Bangor hospital for extensive injuries, and the driver of the school bus was treated on scene. The after-school program bus was transporting three high school students and one middle school student, none of which required medical treatment at the scene. The cause of the crash remains under investigation. Members of Lewiston's Somali immigrant community expressed fears Thursday night about a rumored increase in federal immigration enforcement in Maine. As Michael Livingston reports, a public listening session with Police Chief Carly Conley quickly shifted toward concerns about ICE.
The meeting held at IFCA Community Services was supposed to be a Q&A with Chief Carly Conley. However, the questions quickly shifted from policing to how Somali Americans should interact with federal agents should they come to Lewiston. Rukia Ibrahim says she's concerned about sending her children, who were born in the U.S., to school for fear they may be detained.
We know that the city is working hard to support us, and I know there are community organizations that are also working hard to support us, but at the same time, we cannot help to feel fear.
The details of any potential operation remain unclear, but the rumors prompted statements from Governor Janet Mills and the mayors of Lewiston and Portland. The reports come just a week after an ICE agent fatally shot a woman in Minneapolis, sparking nationwide protests. Chief Conley says her department is under no obligation to assist the federal agents. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Michael Livingston.
Back Cove Music Festival organizers announced today they will not host a music festival in 2026 due to logistical challenges. A statement posted on social media said the festival would be back in 2027 after the Portland City Council unanimously approved a 3-year renewal contract for the festival back in October. Organizers say they struggled to produce a music festival this summer because the approval process took so long. The City Council will vote to revise the contract and move its starting date back by a year at their meeting on Wednesday. And now it's time for Maine's Political Pulse, our regular analysis of government and politics. For the past year, President Donald Trump's immigration crackdown has divided the nation. Perhaps the most vivid example of this divide has been the reaction to an ICE officer fatally shooting a driver, Renee Good, in Minneapolis. ICE and Border Patrol agents arrested hundreds of immigrants in Maine during the first year of the Trump administration, a dramatic increase from previous years. Immigrant communities here have been feeling the effects of Trump's mass deportation push for months. But something shifted this week when reports began surfacing that ICE might be planning large-scale operations in Portland and Lewiston, drawing strong reactions from politicians and elected leaders. I'm joined now by Maine Public Statehouse correspondent Kevin Miller. Kevin, you cover politics and I cover immigration, so let's talk through some of what we've seen and heard in recent days, starting with Governor Janet Mills and other Democratic leaders.
Yeah, thanks, Ari. So Democratic leaders all seem to have fairly similar messages. They started by telling the Trump administration and ICE to stay away. Some said it more diplomatically than others, I'd say, but here's a bit of what Governor Janet Mills said.
To the federal government, I say this. If your plan is to come here to be provocative and to undermine the civil rights of Maine residents, do not be confused. Those tactics are not welcome here.
Congresswoman Shelley Pingree went even further. She accused ICE of murdering Renee Good in Minneapolis. And then she said this during a video.
We will not stand by as ICE, CBP, or any other agency tries to terrorize our communities and unlawfully abduct our neighbors.
But at the same time, they all urge Mainers who decide to protest or might be headed out to monitor ICE operations like we've seen in other cities, they basically urge them to be peaceful and respectful toward the officers.
And Kevin, one thing that I'll add here is the tone from local elected leaders, at least in Portland and Lewiston, has been striking. They've been very clear that they don't know exactly what to expect from a potential ICE surge, and they're urging residents, in the words of Portland Mayor Mark Dion, to look out for one another, know their rights, and have a plan if ICE stops them. And shifting back to the federal level, Kevin, what are you hearing from Republicans?
Well, the state's top-ranking and best-known Republican, Senator Susan Collins, she's been pretty quiet. I reached out to her office yesterday about this ICE operation speculation and was told simply, quote, "We have no other information." But she did tell a reporter in D.C. later in the day that she supports deporting people with criminal backgrounds, but she didn't see any rationale for a large immigration enforcement in Maine. Again, we don't know what's going to happen here in Maine, but Republicans have been beating the drum about suspected Medicaid fraud tied to some in the Somali community, and they've been drawing parallels between what's happening here and what's happening in Minnesota, where we have seen ICE targeting members of the Somali community. And this is on President Trump's radar because he has mentioned the potential fraud in Maine.
And what are other Republicans at the state level saying about this?
We are seeing some Republicans say they welcome ICE to Maine. And I have to say, one of the most enthusiastic reactions, or maybe over the top, depending on your perspective, came from Bobby Charles. He's a former naval intelligence officer and an assistant U.S. Secretary of State during the second Bush presidency, and he's running for the Republican nomination for governor. I'll play a short clip of a video he posted, but just to kind of set the scene a bit. Charles recorded himself, apparently, around midnight on the empty streets of Lewiston, the night after these ICE rumors began flying.
And I'm here to welcome ICE to the state of Maine, which as governor, I will very thoroughly welcome ICE and DEA in surge capacity, and I will encourage them to come here, by the way, with the marshals prior to our elections.
And that music just gets louder and louder and more ominous as the video goes on.
Yeah, to the point where it's a little hard to hear what he's saying at the end of the video.
Yeah, it definitely is. But I thought it was interesting that the two top-ranking Republicans in the Maine Senate, basically blamed Mills and Democrats for the current situation. They didn't have much to say about ICE and the operations, and whether they supported them. But both Senators Trey Stewart of Presque Isle and Matt Harrington of Sanford pointed to this new law that restricts police in Maine from cooperating with federal immigration agents. And they say that when local police collaborate, immigration operations like these, they're more targeted, they go smoother, and everyone is safer, including law enforcement and the public.
And that's interesting because, you know, you and I both covered that bill quite a bit last year. There was a big push to get that bill passed, in part because immigration lawyers in Maine said they were seeing a growing number of people ending up in ICE custody through informal cooperation with local law enforcement. And one example that I reported on last year was an Ecuadorian construction worker who got into basically a fender bender, but local police decided to call Border Patrol after that incident, and the man was arrested and eventually transferred to ICE custody.
Right. And, you know, as you reported, we've seen a number of these incidents, but I suspect there are a lot more that we haven't heard about that have happened. But I think it's important to point out that none of the major police organizations in the state, whether that's state police, the sheriffs, or the Chief of Police Association, none of them supported this bill because they felt it tied their hands and could prevent them from working with the feds on important public safety issues. And I'd also point out that Governor Mills was not a supporter either, despite suggestions from the two Republican senators.
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, she didn't sign the bill after lawmakers passed it last year. Instead, she allowed it to become law this week without her signature, saying the state needed to do something to push back on the Trump administration's aggressive tactics on immigration, even if she hadn't, you know, originally thought that this bill was the best way to do it.
Right. That new law actually won't go into effect until probably midsummer at the earliest, because Governor Mills didn't sign the bill last summer when it hit her desk. This has to do with kind of the rather convoluted way that bills become laws in Maine. But the end result is, because lawmakers skipped town last June and she didn't immediately sign it, the law won't kick in for months. So local police are able to collaborate or coordinate with ICE in any operations, unless their city or town has its own policies prohibiting that, which I would point out that Portland does.
So, Kevin, I wanted to touch on one other point you made in your Political Pulse newsletter. It's the issue of how closely local police can or cannot work with federal immigration agents. Of course, this is not a new question. It sounds like governors in Maine have been going back and forth on this for years.
Yeah, actually, for decades. Going back to 2004, Democratic Governor John Baldacci issued an executive order prohibiting all law enforcement officers within state agencies from inquiring about a person's immigration status unless they were investigating something that was not tied to immigration. So then 7 years later, on his very first day in office in 2011, Republican Governor Paula Page rescinded Baldacci's executive order. As part of that, he said, no, all state employees must cooperate with federal officials on anything related to immigration. And LePage's policy was technically still on the books until last month when Governor Mills scratched it out with her own executive order. So yeah, I'd say that this issue, it's getting enormous attention right now in Maine and nationwide because of Trump's, you know, very aggressive immigration policies. But this undercurrent of tension between the states and the feds over immigration roundups, that's been going on for a long time now.
And that was Kevin Miller, Maine Public State House correspondent. You can hear more of our conversation and sign up for the Political Pulse newsletter at mainepublic.org/pulse. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us tomorrow morning at 8 for Weekend Edition on Maine Public Radio. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.